This Easter monologue features Adullam and his son Omar. They were going from their home in Jericho to Jerusalem with a sacrificial lamb to prepare for the Passover. While traveling through Jericho, the Jericho Road to Jerusalem, there's a fork in that road just before the Mount of Olives. The right fork goes to Bethphage, and the left fork goes to Bethany. Omar asked his father why they were taking the left fork to Bethany rather than the right fork, which went down the valley around the Mount of Olives. His father said they'd spend the night in Bethany, and before daylight, they would go to the top of the Mount of Olives to see a spectacular sight. The next morning, way before daylight, they hiked to the top of Mount of Olives and sat down waiting for the sunrise. With their backs to the east and the sun rising behind them, the mountain cast a shadow over the temple in the valley below. As the sun climbed higher, it began to illuminate first the horn roof of the temple, then slowly began to illuminate the walls of the temple. As the sun rose higher and the shadow of the mountain descended lower, it was truly a beautiful sight. As soon as the sun was high enough to illuminate the temple completely, Adullam took Omar and their sacrificial lamb named Curly down the mountainside by the Garden of Gethsemane and across the brook Kidron. They paused at the brook Kidron to fill their water skins and then entered the city through the sheep gate. As they walked along together, Omar was asking a lot of questions. "Daddy, Curly is our best lamb. Why is he being killed as a sacrifice? He's so beautiful. He's my pet." Adullam tried to explain to him that we're sinners and God hates sin. So to show our repentance of sin and to ask his forgiveness, he requires that we bring a perfect lamb for the sacrifice. Because the law says without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Son, Curly is our sacrifice. We do not want to offer God anything less than perfection in the sacrifice we make to him. Well, this was the Passover season. There should be great crowds of people everywhere. But when they went through the gate, the temple was vacant and very few people anywhere in the area. As they approached the front of the temple, where the front gate is named Gate Beautiful, they saw only a crippled beggar sitting on the steps that led to the gate. "Where is everyone?" Adullam asked. The beggar replied, "Oh, you should have been here last night. Shortly after midnight, the noise began with the crowd passing through the streets with torches lighting their way, screaming and yelling, causing an unbelievable uproar. The priest had sent their soldiers to arrest a man named Jesus, who's from Nazareth. They said he was guilty of blasphemy, but I don't know. He had a reputation of being a prophet and a healer. I hoped he would come by here and help me." Adullam looked through the Gate Beautiful and could not believe what he saw. The priests had left in such a hurry that they left the gates open in the front. They left the interior gate, the Gate of Nicanor, it was open. And he could see through the gates past the altar into the holy place. It was the first time in his life he'd ever seen the interior of the holy place and the veil that covered the Holy of Holies. He was amazed. But he had a problem. It was Friday. He needed to find a priest for the sacrifice early enough to be able to return home for the Sabbath, which began at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. There were not many people in the streets, but he would stop people and ask them where the priests are located. Someone told him that in the wee hours of the morning, all the priests had gone to Caiaphas' house with Jesus before the Sanhedrin, but they weren't there now because they'd gone to the house of Annas, the high priest. Well, as they walked through the high priest or toward the high priest's home, they met people who said the Sanhedrin wanted to have Jesus put to death, but they couldn't legally do it, so they've all gone to the judgment hall of Pontius Pilate. All this conflicting information had kept Adullam and Omar walking all over the city of Jerusalem. Omar said, "Danny, I'm very tired. I'm hungry. Can we stop and rest? I'm so hungry. Can we eat?" Adullam found an open place in the doorway where they could pause in their journey and rest and eat, as the boy requested. They opened their food bag and took out bread, dried figs, cheese, and water from the Kidron Brook. They shared some of the food with Curly, the sacrificial lamb who should have been a sacrifice by now. Suddenly, they no longer needed to search for a priest, because a mob of them came down the street with Roman soldiers. And in the crowd, they could see Jesus. He was carrying his cross. He had been severely beaten by the Roman scourge. That's a multi-lashed whip with bits of bone and glass in each tip. It wasn't made just to beat a person and sting, but it was made to tear the flesh. And as he watched, Jesus stumbled and almost fell. The Roman soldiers turned to a Cyrenian man and made him carry the thing behind Jesus. Omar cried, "Daddy, they're hurting him." And the father replied, "Son, they're trying to kill him." The crowd filled the street from building to building, and as it rushed along, Adullam and Omar could not get out of the way or escape it. They were scooped up and carried along with the crowd as it went out the northwest gate toward Golgotha. They were forced to go to the crucifixion site with the crowd. As they began nailing Jesus to the cross, Omar cried, "Father, this is terrible. I can't watch. I'm scared. I'm scared to death, Daddy, by all this. Help me, Daddy." Adullam replied, "Let me wrap my robe around you for protection, son. And you hold Curly close." By the Roman clock, the crucifixion occurred in the third hour of the day, which would be 9 o'clock in our time in the morning. They still could not leave because of the massive crowd that covered the entire area. But at the sixth hour, or 12 o'clock, darkness came. The sun stopped shining on the crucifixion. Omar was in panic. "Daddy, it's daytime. Why does the sun stop shining? It's so dark. Daddy, I'm so scared. I'm scared of all this. Can we go home?" Adullam replied, "Son, we can't. The crowd has us surrounded, and we can't go anywhere. We'll have to stay until we have a way to get out of the crowd. You hold Curly. I'll hold you, and pray that God holds us." Well, when the ninth hour came at 3 p.m., Jesus shouted, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." And then he said, "It is finished." And he died. Wow, with the last breath, there was a terrible earthquake as the sun began to shine again. All the people screamed and panicked. Those who had been jeering and teasing and insulting Jesus on the cross suddenly were crying and running and beating their chests in remorse for what they had done. The centurion soldier, he was in charge of the crucifixion, and he screamed, "This really was the Son of God." Well, as the crowd dispersed, Adullam could then take his son back through the gate into Jerusalem. But this time, he'd given up any idea of finding a priest to make the sacrifice. He and his son retraced their steps toward the streets on which they'd walked earlier. By the time they got to the temple, it was almost 5 o'clock in the afternoon. The Jewish Sabbath started at 6 p.m. on Friday, and they would be limited to a Sabbath day's journey of 2,000 cubits, or 3,000 feet, as a traveling distance on the Sabbath. Adullam decided to go back to the Mount of Olives and camp in the Garden of Gethsemane, where many pilgrims camped when coming to the Holy City. A strange thing happened as they walked by the temple and the gate beautiful. The crippled beggar was lying on the ground beside the steps, struggling to try to get back on the steps. Adullam stopped and helped him get up to his previous place where he could beg alms from the worshipers. And he glanced up through the gate beautiful. He couldn't believe his eyes. He could still see through the open gates all the way into the holy place. But now he could see through the open curtain into the Holy of Holies. there was a crowd of priests in the holy place yelling at one another and yelling mostly at one priest. That priest was screaming back, "I did not do it. I was standing here putting coals on the altar of incense when the earthquake happened. I nearly fell down and dropped the bag of incense. The altar of incense was bouncing around and almost fell over. And after the earthquake stopped, I heard this ripping sound. And when I looked around, the veil was being torn in half from top to bottom. Now, you know, there's no other way any man or even I could ever have torn that veil from the top to the bottom. After all, it's 30 feet tall and 6 inches thick. You better stop yelling at me and find some way to sew this thing back together before the people see it." When Abdullah recovered from the shock of what he had seen, the Holy of Holies, he said, is where God dwells. He must have split the veil to give us access to him. There's nothing between me and God. This is amazing. I'm shocked, amazed, and confused. What does all this mean? He continued on his journey through the sheep gate and across the Kidron and into the camping area in the Garden of Gethsemane. Abdullah's plans had changed completely. Because of the rabbinic limitations on travel, they could not go home to Jericho until Sunday, the first day of the week. Well, the Sabbath day dawned. The Jews went to the synagogue and followers of Christ went in the morning, and Jesus went to hell. He went to the place where the disobedient supernatural powers are imprisoned. 1 Peter 3:19 says, he went and preached to the spirits in prison who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. Well, the camping area was buzzing with gossip. Oh my goodness, everyone was talking about the events that had occurred on Friday. Abdullah listened to their chatter and tried to piece together what they had seen and what he had seen previously. Because when he was carrying a load of wool from Jericho to Philadelphia and had to cross the Jordan River 3 years ago, he had difficulty crossing the river because his normal crossing place was covered with a large crowd. They were looking at a man standing in the river. He was speaking with a loud voice and talking about repentance and baptism. He suddenly stopped as a man in white, a big white robe, approached the shoreline. He looked at him and cried out, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Abdullah remembered that the man in the white robe was the same Jesus they had seen crucified. He saw Jesus being baptized by this man called John the Baptizer. The strange thing happened, though, when he came up out of the water, a dove descended and perched on him for a second. Then the dove simply disappeared. He thought about the stories he had heard regarding Jesus. He remembered things like demons being cast out, people being healed of diseases, and even raising the dead, some people had said. Could this have been the Messiah that the prophet spoke about? If he was the Lamb of God, then he was sacrificed for our sins. The prophet told us this would happen, but we didn't understand. If this was the Lamb of God and he died for our sins, then everything has changed. No, that could not have happened. Surely the priests and rabbis would have recognized him, not crucified him. Well, as Abdullah spent the day pondering all these things that he had seen and heard, the day passed quickly. It was 6 o'clock and the Jewish Sabbath ended. It would soon be dark, and rather than travel in the dark toward Jericho, he decided to spend another night in the Garden of Gethsemane. Sunday was the first day of the week, and the travel restrictions of the Sabbath day's journey were lifted. So on Sunday morning, they began to break camp. It was necessary to find forage for Curly and to prepare for the long walk home. They were about to leave the Garden of Gethsemane when Omar noticed a man running up from the brook Kidron. He was waving his hands and shouting, He was almost dancing as he ran, laughing at the same time. "Father, look, look at what's happening." As he ran through the camp, he was shouting, "He's alive, he's alive. The grave is empty. He has risen. The Son of God lives." Abdullah tried to stop him, or at least slow him down, to ask a question. "What happened?" The man replied, "The women went to embalm him, and he was gone. And he appeared to Peter and some of the disciples later, and it's God's proof that this truly was the Son of God and the Lamb of God, and he died to take away our sins, and now he lives again. The Savior has come. Oh, God would not let him stay dead, as the prophet said. He would not let him see corruption. He has fulfilled the many prophetic, the prophecies about the Messiah. Oh, please get out of my way. You see, I was dead, and Jesus brought me back to life again. Now I must go home to Bethany and tell my sisters Mary and Martha what God has done again. Abdullah has found the way. He's found the key that he needs to unlock the mystery that has plagued his mind. Now he understands. This truly was the Messiah, the Son of God, who came to take away the sins of the world." Oh my. Oh. Well, he's brought redemption to those who have faith in him and follow his commands. What a tremendous gift of grace God has given the world. When the veil was torn, the way was open to God, because his Son became the bridge which gave us access into his presence. Oh, he tried to explain this to Omar, who was absolutely wide-eyed about all of it and what had happened and what was happening. Finally, that Sunday morning, Abdullah said, "Son, we have seen the Savior. He was and is the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sins of the world. Come on, let's take Curly home. His life has been spared, and son, we have, oh, man, we have a lot to tell Mama." Well, God bless you for listening, and I hope you understand the story, and I thank God for it in Jesus' name. Amen.